Marchbanks, the next character of the Candida. A poet and sentimentalist, the very mention of Bernard Shaw's name evokes in our mind the picture of a man utterly rational, a cold and profound thinker and a great philosopher. That he had a poetic streak in him seems beyond one's wildest dream, yet W.S. Davis, who knew Shaw well, tells us that Shaw was one of the most poetical of men. The great rationalist who scoffed at sentiment, concealed skillfully beneath an anti-sentimental veneer a deeply poetic temperament. At rare moments, this temperament asserted itself. This is what has happened in the play Candida, where Shaw has given a very interesting picture of a young poet using Marchbanks, an unfit in the word. Marchbanks is the son of Baronet, who finds himself utterly unfit to live in this world. He found his way into the family of Morel when one night the good clergyman picked him up from the embankment. Since then, he is one of the most intimate friends of Morel and Candida. A bohemian in appearance, Marchbanks is delicately built and is Ariel-like in appearance. His voice is soft and low, and his manner timid and diffident. His indifference to his appearance is only too obvious. He seems rather bohemian in his utter disregard of a well-groomed appearance. Impractical. Marchbanks, though belonging into the world, is obviously not of it. He is painfully afraid of tackling even the simplest situation. With a bill for less than 55 euro in his pocket, the sleeps on the embankment not knowing how to cash it. The thought of paying the cabman worried him to death. He is astounded to see the cabman receiving happily from Morel 2 shillings, for he was afraid that 10 shillings would be too little. No wonder he wins the sympathy and protective love of a warm-hearted, motherly woman like Candida, a romantic lover. Being in a poet's world all the time, Marchbanks finds dialogue with ordinary mortals almost impossible. He feels awkward and embarrassed when he is in the presence of a stranger, and his first impulse is to run away. Burgess scares him, and Prosy frightens him. Even with Morel, Marchbanks finds it difficult to unbend. It is with Candida alone that he becomes relaxed and at ease, for he loves her passionately and feels that her own noble nature can respond beautifully to his poetic one. His love for Candida is the most important thing in Marchbanks' life. When Morel dismisses it as scoff love, the young poet is furious. To his idealistic temperament, the very thought is hideous. He storms at Morel. "You dare say that of her? You think that way of the love she inspires? It is an insult to her. Eugene worships Candida as the quintessence of all beauty and purity. He is filled with horror at the thought of her beautiful fingers dabbling in paraffin oil. He loses patience with Morel for letting her do this while he sits comfortably preaching over lost everlasting preaching. The poet's indignation knows no bound when Candida speaks of bursting the floor to her, question whether he would like to present her with with a nice new breast with ivory back inlaid. The mother of pearl, he replies, "No, not a scrubbing breast, but a boat, a tiny saloop to sail away in far from the world where the marble floors are washed by the rain and dried by the sun, where the south winds dust The beautiful green and purple carpets are a chariot to carry us up into the sky where the lamps are stars and don't need to be filled with paraffin oil every day. This is delicious poetry and tells us about the world of abstraction and romance in which Eugene lingers. The same attitudes is evident in the scene where he is along with Candida. He reads poetry to her and then pauses to tell her how his soul loves to repeat her name 1,000 times. He is so steeped in old romances that his love for Candida is utterly romantic, almost passionate. He later recalls how he was standing outside the gate of heaven, refusing to go in. He tells Morel, then she became an angel and there was the flaming sword that turned every way so that I could not go in. All this seems nonsense to the practical and prosaic Morel. But Candida can understand the meaning of Eugene. In fact, there is such a sympathetic understanding and a spiritual kinship between them that in the bargain scene, Candida's enigmatic words that she gives herself to the weaker of the two are immediately understood by the poet, but Morel needs the elaborate explanation given by Candida to realize at last that Candida is choosing to stay with him. Eugene, however, does not agree with Candida's emphasis on the disparity in age between them. In 100 years, he says, we shall be the same age. But the greater truth that Eugene learns at the end of the auction scene is his own self-sufficiency. This frail, emotionally dependent boy who cries out for Candida's love in his weakness, his isolation and his hurts need suddenly gains stature. He grows up quickly and is endowed with a new strength. Hitherto unsuspected, he runs out into the night saying that he carries a secret in his heart. The secret is definitely the assurance of his own self-sufficiency, the stirring of a fierce and proud determination to stand by himself, and the confidence that in his isolation lies his strength. A man of moral strength. Throughout the play, in spite of his helplessness in certain things, Eugene shows great moral strength. He is no coward, though he shrinks from the physical violence of Morel. There is a deadly effectiveness about Eugene's words upon Morel that the strong, self-sufficient minister pleads. Marchbanks, some devil is putting these words into your mouth. It is easy, terribly easy, to shake a man's faith in himself, to take advantage of that, to break man's spirit is devil's work. Take care of what you are doing. Eugene's strength springs from his adherence to truth and also from his being above conventional morality in shaking himself loose from the fetters of conventional life. Marchbanks has achieved that acme of immorality abhorred by the Philistines, irresponsibility. Like Tanner of A Man and Superman, Marchbanks is the true artist who refuses to let the weary weight of this world stifle his poetic genius. Marchbanks resembles Tanner in many ways, and both these stand completely for so as Hamlet and Prince Hal stand for Shakespeare. Both are men of profound insight into reality, free from prejudices, masters of life, and both are young. Next, A Man of Sentimentality. Though Bernard Shaw steadily described sentimentalism in the characterization of Marchbanks, we see the element of sentimentalism in plenty. His diagnosis of the world's ill is highly sentimental. I go about in search of love and find it in unmeasured stores in the bosom of others, but when I try to ask for it, this horrible shyness strangles me, and I stand dumb, or worse than dumb, saying meaningless things. Foolish I lies, and I see the affection I am longing for, given to dogs and cats and pet birds because they came and asked for it. It must be asked for. It is like a ghost. It cannot speak unless it is first spoken to. All the love in the world is longing to speak, only it dare not, because it is sigh, sigh, sigh. That is the world's tragedy. He looks sad when Candida's frank talk makes Moral unhappy. He considers it cruelty and exclaims, "It is a horrible thing to see one person make another suffer. You have made him suffer frightfully. I feel his pain in my own heart." All this is the very stuff that Bernard Shaw criticized in other dramatists. No wonder Maurice Colburn says, "Shaw, the anti-romantic cause over the romantic poet, the enemy of all sentimentality, becomes unashamedly sentimental." His appeal. This, however, does not detract from the appeal that Marchbanks makes on the audience. He is indeed a charming young man who has a fine frenzy of the poet and the innocence of a cherub. He reminds us of Shelley, the idealist, the revolutionary, the courageous fighter against injustice, the passionate lover, and above all, an absolute misfit in this world. There is no doubt some inconsistency in the portrayal of Marchbanks, which makes Professor A.C. Ward say that the 39-year-old Shaw imposed himself intermittently upon the 18-year-old Marchbanks and split the character. But whenever the play is staged, the young poet endears himself to the audience and remains one of the immortal characters of English drama. Thank you. This is the end of Character of Marchbanks.